For me, the most helpful bits in scripture about prayer is in Daniel. And Daniel's praying, and suddenly he gets a visitation from the angel Gabriel. And it says, then he said to him, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling self before your God, your words were heard." So he started praying 21 days before this when he gets this visitation. "And I have come now, 21 days after, in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." So basically, Daniel's praying for this thing. "Lord, there's nothing happening. Why is there no breakthrough?" He gets a visitation from the angel Gabriel saying, "I came as soon as you started praying, but I was in this spiritual battle. Michael then comes to help me, and now I'm here." That, for me, is such a helpful way in understanding prayer, because we are in a battle, and prayer is a spiritual battle. And, you know, the Lord, you know, things may have happened this morning, you know, with breakthrough. Things may have not have happened this morning, you know, with breakthrough. But that doesn't deter me whatsoever, and that shouldn't necessarily deter us, because we need to understand that it's not God going, "Oh, I'm not going to answer your prayers." Prayer, there's more to it than meets the eye. There's a spiritual battle going on. But this I do know, is that I want us to be a church which sees miracles. Yeah. I want us to be a church where people come and they get healed. Yeah. And I know that the more we pray for healing, the more we will see healing. Yeah. The churches that see miracles, the ministries that see most of miracles, they pray for the most people, and they see the most people not healed as well. And that's just part of the deal. You know, that's part of the picking up your cross and carrying it, you know, is that belief in, you know what, I believe you, God. I believe in the power of God being released, but it's not happening. It's a real tension. There's a real pain to that. And I think, you know, that's one of the things we need to carry if we're going to be, you know, a church which wants to see the power of God released. And I also think, there's something which comes, there's kind of an authority which comes as we continue to pray. You know, Jesus says to the disciples, when they are trying to pray for the boy with demons who is having fits or whatever, they're the most experienced miracle workers on the planet, and they're saying, "Why won't this come out?" And he says, "This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting." And it's like, hang on a second. Jesus hadn't just come down the mountain from doing prayer and fasting, but he had a lifestyle of intimacy with the Lord. So all I'm saying is, the more we go for these things, the more I think we're going to see them happen. So, thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you for the promise that it's impossible to pray and for nothing to happen. And I also see it as like, you know, if I'm pushing against a stone, which won't be moved, I might have said this before, pushing against a massive rock, which seems like it won't be moved, every time I'm pushing, I'm getting stronger. And there's something about, you know, the nature of praying for things and seeing breakthroughs that, you know, we do grow as we press in for these things. So, we honour you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing amongst us. We love you so much. Amen. So, I have time. 5 minutes. So I think I just really want to quickly just kind of finish off, you know, our few weeks that we've talked about honour. Honour releases life, as we've said, because as we choose to give to give weight to the glory, appropriate weight to the glory which is on one another, we pull it out of them. And that just, as we do that all over the place, life is released. And honour is the outworking of a culture or a value system of love. And I said last week, or 2 weeks ago, that when I have felt the most dishonoured in my life, and I gave an example, that was one of the times where I felt the most unloved. And one of the times in my life where I felt the most honoured was one of the times where I felt the most loved. And so actually, if we have a value system, you know, rule three of our church community is to love everyone we meet, 1 John 4, then the outworking of that value is a culture of honour. Some of the keys to honour, I've said, are humility. In Proverbs it says, pride comes before dishonour. And so what's the opposite of pride? It's humility. Humility as you humble yourself, as you come under one another, as you want to receive from one another, knowing that you don't have it all yourself figured out, you don't have all the answers. As you humble yourself, honor flows. Pride is the opposite, dishonor. One of the keys to honor and a culture of honor is just always keeping your love turned on. And I think that's a really helpful phrase. I'll say it again. Let's use that phraseology. I say it to myself. You know, this lady the other day knocked my scooter over. I was parked in Marlow, and I don't have one of those little kid scooters. I've got a Vespa. And she reversed into it. And I came up, and I was like, I said to myself, keep your love turned on, Dave. And that was really helpful, because my natural reaction is to go, are you blind? What are you doing? You just messed up my scooter. And actually, I knew that she didn't mean to do that. That was an accident. And so I kept my love turned on. And actually, it was good, because I found out that she's one of your neighbours, Pete. So I was like, yeah, so I actually go to a church. One of the keys to a culture of honour is not taking offence. Trying to make commitments all across the place to just not take offence and to be quick to forgive. And lastly, it's about being intentional about honouring. And so actually making a plan. So say, you know, within River this week, I'm going to make a plan to, in a noteworthy way, honour someone. I'm going to write them a card. I'm going to give them a gift. I'm going to make sure that I go over to them and say, this is what I really value about you. I just want to thank you for that. Or might not be in church. It might be someone at River Life or someone in your workplace or one of your neighbours. It's about, if we want to create a culture of honour, it's about being intentional about doing it. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, an eye that mocks a father is never satisfied. An eye that mocks a father is never satisfied. And I would say that is basically a dishonouring. You know, to mock someone, to mock one of your elders, is a real dishonouring thing to do. So the opposite of that, you know, an eye that honours a father is satisfied, is one that is satisfied. And I want to say, this is one of the reasons why we want a culture of honour, is because it's a healthy thing. It satisfies us. There's such satisfaction and there's such a freedom in knowing that we're in it together. That other people have so much to bring to us and that we don't have all the answers. I personally, as a leader of the congregation, get such satisfaction in knowing that I don't have to be a superhero, that I can just be me and bring my strengths to the mix and receive from all you fantastic people and work alongside one another, and we do it together as we honour one another. That brings such satisfaction. And there's such a dissatisfaction in that kind of, you know, that when you moan, you know, moaner people, and they just go from one thing to the next. Oh, I'm moaning about this. I'm moaning about this. I'm moaning about this. There's like, it's not, it doesn't satisfy you. There's this constant, oh, within you. I don't know the right words. But as you honour things, as you go, you know what, this might not be perfect, but you know, I really love this about it. And I, you know, this might not be perfect, but this part about it is great. And as you do that, it satisfies your soul. It satisfies a community. Darry Northrop, who leads Timberline Church, which Jeff Lucas is from, he says this thing which has really, really just impacted me. And by the way, I'm not saying that I have this down. I'm on a journey of just trying to learn to honour, and I want to be intentional about it. Darry Northrop says that when you enter a room, and this is a leadership tip, but I want to say it's the same for all of us. When you enter a room, instead of thinking, here I am, think, there you are. I'll say it again. As you enter a room, instead of thinking, here I am, think to yourself, there you are. To me, that describes kind of almost a mindset of a culture of honour. And lastly, I'm just going to read from John 17. This is Jesus praying. I do not ask on my behalf, on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through the word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in us, that you may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, This is the reason, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. We create a culture of honor. We love one another. We're in unity with one another, as the Trinity is in unity with themselves and wants to be in unity with us, as we are in unity in love with one another. Not so that, oh, it's really nice and it's this great concept. No, so that the world may believe. We do it to model like a godly, inclusive culture, and we spread it out wherever we go. So, Jesus, I want to thank you that there is such glory in your character, and there is such glory in your good character, and you have placed glory within every single one of us. And Father, I want to pray that we would be a culture which draws the glory out of one another. We would be a culture which draws the glory out from you, Lord, so that the world may know that you sent us. Father, I just ask that you just help us with issues of pride, where we feel fearful. Father, just come and saturate us with your love, and that we would be humble, humble people, quick to just learn from one another and be spoken to by one another. Father, we just love you so much. And I just pray that you just create within us an honouring culture of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, bless you guys. I'd like to encourage you, as an action point, again, to be intentional this week, even now, at the end of the meeting, be intentional about honouring. Think to yourself, how can I honour people? Who can I honour? Who shall I honour? Love you guys. You rock. You're amazing. Amen.